Greetings, Chicagoland. Thank you for tuning in to the weekly program, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, based on improving lives through public service and volunteerism. Today's presentation is brought to you by the Forum to Achieve, Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, with more than a 75-year legacy of promoting peace, harmony, equality, and social justice for all. Building Community, Strengthening Nations features newsmakers and movers and shakers engaged in enlightening discussions on current issues and events that positively impact our diverse communities. The FACT organization invites you to contact us for general information or referral services, volunteer opportunities, and suggestions, questions, or comments regarding programming topics and guests. Please call FACT at 773-424-8002 to reach our 24-hour voicemail and facsimile. Our email address is faactorg@aol.com. Now tell your friends to tune in to FACT every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're streaming live over the internet at www.thechicagolighthouse.org. My name is Ruth M. Fairfax Frazier. I am the founder and executive director of the FACT organization, and today I am so pleased to serve as your host. FACT is always excited about this opportunity to share time with you, our most valued listening public, with different weekly topics of interest that positively influence our communities. However, as we always say, this can only be accomplished with your help. The fact is, we all need each other, and by uniting our efforts, we can make a positive difference for everyone. In a nutshell, FACT's combined vision and mission is to help create a better world through educating the public and coalescing with others to eradicate biases and prejudices, as well as hate crime. Greetings, everyone. I'm Ruth Frazier with FACT, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, and we have two very esteemed guests joining us today. Reginald Robinson, a pianist, composer, arranger, and educator. Welcome to the program, Reginald.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And also joining us is Mark Hallett, Illinois Humanities. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thank you so much, Ruth. It's an honor to be here with you and with Reginald. Thank you.
Well, we're going to start off with you, Mark. Tell us, what do you do at Illinois Humanities, and give us a little backdrop of the organization.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really glad to have the opportunity to share with you and with your audience a little bit about the work that we do at Illinois Humanities before we jump in on this upcoming Pekin Theater event, which we're all really excited about. So people may have heard of Illinois Humanities. We're a Chicago-based nonprofit. We were founded way back in 1973. We're a state humanities council. The one thing I would say is that sometimes when people hear humanities, they imagine like a professor behind a lectern and everybody sitting in an audience getting bored. That's not what we're about. We're very much about the arts. We're very much about programming that involves business. We actually do community town halls or conversations around journalism and media. We do a lot of work in public policy, so that means issues that matter in people's lives today. And so those are kind of our four like bucket areas. Mm-hmm. But the wraparound is access. And we believe very much that a lot of public conversations around issues that matter in people's lives have not been accessible for many people for too long. And so I'm one of a staff of about 13 people, and we are very passionate about making public humanities, again, in the arts, business, journalism, and public policy, accessible to everyone. And that's something we care a whole lot about. My particular area is that I direct our grants program. We do grants to nonprofits in these areas. And I'm also in charge of our partnerships. In every program that we have, we partner with multiple organizations. So those are the two areas that I kind of oversee. I started at Illinois Humanities 2 years ago, and before that was at a place called the McCormick Foundation.
Okay. Well, you know, you mentioned an upcoming event, and that was the main reason why we brought you on the program today, because it is so special that we wanted to share it with our audience. And before we bring Reginald into the picture and discuss who he is and what he does, can you tell us a little bit about the event, when and where?
I can tell you a little bit, and then I'm going to hand it off to Reginald here. It's coming up this Saturday, actually, so it's June 17th, and it's going to start at 7 p.m., and this is going to be a really, really remarkable performance where we're going to have that's in honor of one of, you know, Chicago is such an amazing musical city. That's such a part of our legacy, and I think a lot of people's, just the lifeblood of this city. And so Saturday's event is part of honoring what was called the Pekin Theater, and it was located, and Reginald, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was at 29th and State Street.
Oh, it was 27th and State.
27th and yes. State, thank you. And it was a really remarkable club that I believe might have been the first in the country,
in the world, yes,
that featured African American talent through and through, and was black owned. And so we're going to have a really exciting performance Saturday night that's open to the public. And like a lot of the other programming that we do at Illinois Humanities, it's going to be free. And we hope that your listeners will consider coming out and listening to some really world-class music.
All right. Well, Reginald, we are so honored that you can join us today. You're a very accomplished musician. So let's start off with you telling us about your background. How did you get interested in music?
Well, I got interested in music about 13 years old. Well, mm-hmm. I was already listening to music like everyone else listened to music on the radio. And at that time, I think Michael Jackson and Prince, people like that, were really popular. But mm-hmm. my second oldest brother, I have three older brothers, and my second oldest brother started getting into music. We had a neighbor next door who had a band, something like, I guess, like a sort of like Prince, you know, that's how his band was. And he had like an entourage of people. we would see this musician come and go, and he played little gigs around the neighborhood. And he was like a star to us, right?
So my brother, very popular.
Yeah, so my brother decided he wanted to get into music as well. He started. He got a guitar. My mom and dad bought him a guitar, and he started. He was listening to all kinds of music, Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles, and you name it. It was very different. All the, you know, he had a huge variety of people he listened to. Very, very versatile. So he one day he started listening to big band music from the late 1930s and 40s, and he brought this music home, playing it on the radio. He used to listen to old time radio, mm-hmm. and they would play all these Benny Goodman, Glenn Miller, Tommy Dorsey, people like that. And I used to laugh at it because I was like, "It's old music, you know, scratchy old music, you know." That was the introduction to old music at home mm-hmm. for me. And he was like, "You need to listen to it. This stuff is good. It's good music." I'm like, "Yeah, okay. It's corny." And so anyway, I listened to it, heard it so much. And he tried to play things on a guitar that I became interested. After a while, I really started understanding what was going on, this music. It was serious. It was serious music, mm-hmm. you know. And one day we had an assembly in school, in my school. I was in seventh grade. Right around this same time, you know, with me being interested in jazz music, that these musicians came to my school, And it was about five musicians. They did a show called From Bach to Bebop.
Oh.
And yeah, and they covered all these different styles of music. And in about the middle of the program, I heard ragtime. That was the music. You know, this style was called ragtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized the song. It was from an ice cream truck, right? You know, I would see the ice cream truck every year playing the song. I had no idea what the name of it was. It was just the ice cream truck song.
Their theme song.
Yeah, that theme song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up hearing it. The ice cream truck song, I grew up hearing it from a baby. And but hearing it played on the piano at that moment is what I said, wow, this is serious music. It doesn't take a band to play this. It's one musician playing it, and it's more of a, has more of an intimate sound. It's more like you have to listen to it. Ragtime is not a music that you talk while it's playing. You listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so much going on, and it's like, you know, it's a band within itself in the piano. And my ear, I heard that. And
mm-hmm.
So I went away from this assembly saying, wow, that's the kind of music I want to play. I don't want to do the big band. I don't want to do all this other stuff. You know, I was trying to rap it at the time, and I was Run DMC, and, you know. But I focused in on ragtime, so that became my focal point of
mm-hmm.
Study was ragtime. I started going to libraries, and back then, I always tell people, back then we didn't have, you know, younger people, we didn't have the internet. So everything I found out was going to the library and looking in books and going to get records and LPs from Rose Records at the time, and just discovering, and that was it.
Well, let me ask you one question, Reginald. You mentioned the influence of your brother. That was Marlando, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Did he stay with music?
He still plays music off and on, but he didn't take it professionally.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he was a good support system for you along the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so. Well, you know, we opened up today's program with Pekin Rag. Tell us about that.
Oh, the Pekin Rag was written by a man named Joe Jordan. And that actually, Pekin Rag was one of the first pieces that I heard from Joe Jordan back in the late 80s.
Because
I was trying to find out as much as I could about Scott Joplin. I also started finding out about other musicians who were around in the circle of Scott Joplin.
Okay.
And Joe Jordan was one of them. His music always caught my ear because he hit some odd chords, you know. He was sort of reminded me of another musician, Louis Chauvin, who was in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
And but Pekin Rag was a tune that he wrote for the Pekin Theater. And it was one of the tunes he wrote in honor of the Pekin Theater and at the Pekin Theater, which that piece, Pekin Rag, is from about 1904, I think I want to say. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 1904.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his many, many pieces. He wrote over 700 compositions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's very inspiring for our audience that you're a self-taught musician. Tell us a little bit more about that journey.
Well, when I was getting into, after that assembly, my parents, I came home and I was trying to persuade my parents to purchase a piano for me. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, my brother had, he had a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I'm like, can y'all, you know, give me a piano? And so my mother was like, no, we can't get this right. You know, we don't have money for a piano right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it winded up being that a neighbor was moving from around the corner, and they bargained with my mother. We was about to move too, and the neighbor bargained with my mother, and she was able to get the piano.
Oh, yeah. great.
And but before then, though, I had a she got me like a little Casio type keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care, it was a toy, but I didn't care, it played.
Mm-hmm.
I could make music on it. Every day when I would come from school, I would make a recording.
Mm-hmm.
Add to my little album of compositions that I thought I was making, ragtime compositions.
Mm-hmm.
So I was already, my mind was, you know, immediately listening to Scott Joplin's music, who I found out wrote that tune, The Entertainer. I found out more about it, that, you know, the ice cream truck song, that it was The Entertainer, and
mm-hmm.
and I was able to make that connection from the Sting, the movie, because I didn't have a, you know, it's like back then we didn't have a, you can just put in Scott Joplin, list his titles of tunes and listen to them,
mm-hmm.
like you can do it with the internet nowadays. You couldn't connect the titles with the audio.
Mm-hmm.
And back then I had to, I needed some source, some way I can find it. And listening to it on the radio, they didn't play anything on the radio.
So were you strictly a rote learner, or did you teach yourself how to read music as well?
I'm sorry, I didn't answer your question. Yes.
No.
I actually taught myself how to read. and write the music.
Because many very good musicians are strictly rote. They go by hear only. Mm-hmm. You know, what they hear is what they're able to play. Mm-hmm. But you're actually able to do both.
Yeah, I can read it and I can, you know, write it. But I think that with making charts mm-hmm. from two books that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I got
okay.
from my brother. One was a high school beginner's book for music, rudiments of music, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And another one was one of my books, a school book that had a few lessons at the back of the book, mostly mm-hmm. songs and stuff that we would perform at assemblies and things like that. But the back of the book was teaches, you know, taught about the rudiments of music.
Okay.
And yeah.
Well, you have gone from those humble beginnings as a musician and bring us up to date. What was the evolution? When did you start playing with really accomplished musicians? I understand you've been with Orbit Davis
yeah.
and others. And tell us about that journey.
I should tell you this. The people that came to my school, well, that was Orbit Davis.
Oh, okay.
That visited my school in 1986?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I come to find out later on. Somebody told me, I explained the show to them, and they explained, oh, I know who that was. Well, that was Orbit Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wait a minute, yeah. I think that was a name that was on the program, school program. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I guess that kind of started with, as I moved on and began to record my albums back in 1993, I recorded with, performed with Marianne McPartland. She was one of the first people that I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And, she used to have a radio show. Piano jazz.
Oh.
And I was amazed to even be on her show because only the top musicians, people, you know, I had listened to her show coming up trying to find out about ragtime.
Mm-hmm.
And her show would come on the same radio station with all these other jazz, shows that played jazz and ragtime music. So, yeah, that was the beginning of it in 1993.
Okay.
Yes.
And now you even have your own band.
Yeah. I work with a band occasionally, and we call it the Fifth Element, and different musicians come in and you know, pass through the band and whatnot. But yeah.
Now, how can we find out more information about who you are and what you do? Do you have a website?
I have a website, but it needs to be updated.
Okay.
I'm working on that now, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so how do we access it?
Just go to, it's reginaldrobinson.com.
Okay. Yeah. All
and,
right.
I'm also right now. I've been more so active on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and but you know it's Reginald R. Robinson. I don't know the Facebook address, but if you go to Facebook, I have a Facebook page.
Okay,
and that's where I list most of my events and things like that.
Okay, yes. All right. Well, I want to get back to the upcoming event, Bronzeville's Pekin Theater, often called the Temple of Music. Give us that date, time, and place again.
Yeah, thank you, Ruth. So it's this coming Saturday, June 17th at 7 p.m. And you know, if people want to attend, they can go to our Illinois Humanities website. And if it's all right, Ruth, let me give you the URL.
Mm-hmm.
It's www.ilhumanities, humanities.org, and we feature the upcoming event very prominently there. And so anyone who wants to attend can get online there and register. And I should add that if anyone who is really interested in attending and perhaps needs special attention or help in any way, we want to make sure that you are able to enjoy this wonderful concert. So if anyone wants to reach out to me, they're more than welcome to at 312-374-1555. And we are committed and we'll make sure that you're able to be there and to enjoy it, because this is going to be a really, really special musical event.
Okay, now I understand that there will be a cultural historian and consultant that will be speaking during the program.
No, there will be. You may be referring to Tim Samuelson, who's working with the show.
Yes.
In the background.
To okay.
Help put the show together, but
oh, okay.
There will be a narrative, a narrators. Yes. There will be singers, dancers.
Okay.
And an 8-piece band.
Oh,
that
wonderful.
That I'm directing, yes.
Okay. Well, tell us some of the band members that'll be there.
Let's see. Deshaun Mosley, he's playing the drums. Let me see. Look at this list here, my music band members.
Mm-hmm.
Aiden Sinclair Daniels, who's 13 years old.
Oh.
Yeah, he's, I wanted it to be where people look like, is that a kid up there playing? So we got a 13-year-old master violinist. We have the master jazz violinist, Samuel Williams.
Oh.
Yeah. Roosevelt Griffin III playing bass. Ernest Dawkins, master jazz musician, saxophonist, and reed player.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be there. He'll be playing clarinet. And Robert Griffin will be playing cornet.
Okay.
And, also, Tracy Kirk will be playing trombone. What we tried to do is, what I was looking at was one of the original Pekin Theater flyers from the early 1900s. And I saw the roster of musicians, and I said I want to duplicate this.
Oh,
so what we're doing is the exact same as what I saw. There's two violins, one bass, clarinet, cornet, trombones, and drums.
So this will truly be a wonderful experience. We're inviting everyone to come out and enjoy, and we want to thank both of you for being on the program today. We only have a minute or so each. Would any closing remarks you'd like to give with our audience?
Yeah, thank you so much again, Ruth, for the opportunity. While we're on the topic of music, I did want to mention another upcoming event that's going to be happening this fall. And so we are helping to pull together a citywide initiative, which is the premiere of David Lang's Thousand Voices piece called Crowd Out. And so if people are interested and love music and they come out to this Saturday and they want more, there's going to be a performance with people. And this was one of the things that we required as being part of this performance, that there be people from every ward in the city of Chicago. And, you know, you got to be careful what you ask for, because that's ended up being really hard to coordinate.
Mm-hmm.
But if people go to crowdoutchicago.org, they can find out more about upcoming rehearsals and then the final performance in October.
So is there still time for people to participate?
Definitely.
Oh,
yeah, there's still
great.
Plenty of time to be involved in it.
Yeah. Oh,
so
wonderful.
We're very excited about it.
Okay. And if we want to find out more of the different programs that you provide year-round for the state of Illinois, where do we call and what is the website?
Yes, ilhumanities.org. And you can actually register on the website and get our regular e-newsletter and learn about events. If anyone wants to, again, they're welcome to just give me a direct call at 312-374-1555, and I can answer any questions or help you get registered to learn more about upcoming events.
Okay. Now, Reginald, I want you to close out our program. I know we're going to end with Sweetie Dear. So anything you'd like to tell our audience and tell us about that selection as well?
Oh, this will be a wonderful event. It's special, very special event in Brownsville. Nothing has been done like this. And as far as I know, this is outdoor theater in Brownsville.
Okay.
And it's important to Black history and American history. This is the roots of jazz, the roots of blues. You know, these are music by, a lot of the music that people are hearing is music that was written during the period of the Pekin Theater.
Mm-hmm.
1903, 1904, roughly, 1910, 1911.
Mm-hmm.
And by musicians who people have forgotten now, you know. And that's one thing. Another thing I would like to mention, this is off, but it's concerning something I did this year, and it's one of the biggest music projects that I've ever done. My music will be featured on a recording, 15 of my compositions played by orchestra.
Oh.
Yeah, that is River Raisin Ragtime Review are playing. In fact, the orchestrator of this Pekin event, that was the first work that we collaborated on.
Mm-hmm.
It was the work recorded by the River Raisin Ragtime Review, and that should be coming out like August. Okay. And if people can, if they want to find out about it, they can go to my website, which will be updated in the next few months.
Okay. Yes. And also your Facebook page, which is Reginald R. Robinson.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now tell us a little bit about Sweetie Dear.
Sweetie Dear was written by Joe Jordan. The music was written by Joe Jordan, the musical director at the Pekin Theater in that time. And the lyrics were written by Will Marion Cook, the great black writer. And he wrote many songs for Burt Williams and George Walker and many other artists in that time. And also became Duke Ellington's mentor later on, you know. Sweetie Dear was also sang by, during the years of the Pekin Theater, was sang by Will Marion Cook's wife, Abby Mitchell, who was really popular at the time. Soprano singer, yes.
Well, Chicagoland, we want to thank you for tuning in this week to Building Community, Strengthening Nations here on Chris Radio. We want to thank our assistant director and sound engineer, Brian Hawkins, for helping to produce today's program, as well as Mr. Marshall Matthews, our co-host. Have a great week, Chicagoland. Bye now.
Sweetie's got eyes like the diamonds, teeth that just glisten like pearls. Sweetie's dear smiles and winning wiles set my poor heart awhirl. It is the lips red as rubies, lips just as sweet as can be. But like the sun, sweet is the one and only sweet thing for me. Sweetie dear, don't you hear what my heart is trying to say? Sweetie dear, please draw near, whisper about that wedding. See your mind all the time. Without love, the day is drear. My heart's sad, make it glad. I'm just mad about sweetie dear. The poets sing of the day. Sweet and so fine, the lover sighs about beauty's eyes, longs for the summer time. The roses yearn for the sunshine, the bird just pines for the tree. All these though fine, don't go for mine, 'cause sweet is the one for me. Sweetie dear, don't you what my heart is trying to say. Sweetie dear, please draw near, whisper about that wedding day. See your mind all the time. Without love, the day is drear. My heart's sad, make it glad. I'm just mad about sweetie.